I also welcome you this morning to Rockwell United Methodist Church for our time of worship. Let us pray together. In the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have gathered together knowing that God has called us to this place. God was waiting for us when we arrived, and God expects us to be in excitement, to be in His building, to be in His presence, and to be part of a worship service that honors God with every breath and every step that we take. So may God's blessings be upon our worship. Call us to you, and let us leave calling others to know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. 381 in your book, or the words will be on the screen.
Ask that you would remain standing and turn to page 882 or see the words on your screen. Let me make sure that you understand as we're getting ready to do this Apostles' Creed. This is the ecumenical version. It is slightly different than what we have done the last few weeks since I've been here. So prepare yourself for the difference. Amen. Here we go. Let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us be in prayer together. First, a silent prayer, and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord and our Savior, as we have sung our hymns and had our readings and prepared our heart for more singing and anthem and the giving of tithe and of the listening to the word being read and proclaimed. As we are in that midst of time that we are settling our soul into the preparation of listening to your voice, and knowing that your voice speaks, because as the hymn just said, you have loved us, love us still. Your love does not waver. Your love does not give up. Your love walks with us and cares for us with every breath that we take and everything that we do. For your love is everlasting to everlasting, and in giving that, you allow us to come and to worship. For we need to be filled with the singing and the reading of Scripture so that we can go into a world that needs to hear your Scripture read by our actions, by the way we treat others, by the way your gift is given to others through us. This world needs us. We need you, and they needed you more than anything that could possibly happen. And you have chosen to share yourself through the church. Other ways also, O Lord, but through the church is the place you have chosen to work and to be. So allow us as the church, as part of the called body of Christ, the redeemed, the ones who have faith in God, to be the ones who share you through our actions. Let us do that in a way that honors and glorifies you. Let us do it in a way that gives us the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to confront evil and pray for the blessings and the power of God. Part of that praying is to pray for each other. So we ask, O Lord, that you would give us in that prayer the joyfulness of praying for each other, to lift holy names before you, that we can be in prayer together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and teach us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. May your gift overwhelm us. And may we give as if we've been overwhelmed by your Spirit, giving all that we are to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing "Take Time to Be Holy."
Looking to Jesus, still trying. trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus sent by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service of love.
Thank you. You may be seated.
We got some water where we need it. Stay up, though. Don't sit down for the moment. Let's stay for the reading of God's holy word. Everybody stay with me for this. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. Let us hear God's word as is given to us in the Gospel of Matthew. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet others, only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Now listen to this sentence very carefully. The last sentence in this text. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Now, in the grace of the moment, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the one who is perfect, let us be perfect as God is perfect. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to do a quick survey for each of y'all this morning. I want to see how you do. I'm expecting hand raises for this, all right? So I'm waiting on this moment to happen. All of you who are perfect, please raise your hand. Choir? Nobody? No? Wayne? Perfect musician? Perfect flautist? No. Okay, all right. What would you do if I said to you that you have perfection in your grasp? It's waiting for you. Every United Methodist pastor who crosses the stage, and in fact, other Wesleyan denominations do this also, but to speak to only United Methodists, that's what I am, has to go across the stage, and in their examination, in front of all the annual conference, we are asked this question. Do you expect to be made perfect in this lifetime? Now, the new pastors get out easy. They just have to say yes. When I went through all those 100 years ago, we had to respond by saying, I do so expect to be made perfect in this lifetime. All right, so it leaves me only this lifetime to be made perfect in. Now you say, well, we're made perfect in heaven. That's another conversation. It isn't about that conversation. This is about being made perfect now, in this lifetime. The problem with perfection for us is we think it means sinless. And see, there becomes your issue. You think you have to be sinless to be perfect. You go back and read the scripture I just read. It's in a bunch of a whole lot of other scripture, obviously. But if you go back and read the one I just read, this is about just that scripture and what it means by God's understanding through Jesus speaking for us to be made perfect. If you listen to the text read, or if you still have your Bibles open to it, you'll notice in the midst of this perfection, we have to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That is your road to perfection. Now, there's other parts to this we'll get in a second, but let's just talk about those two things. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, remember, this is under the conversation that we've been having of prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. This is that third act of sanctification, in which we as Christians are supposed to be growing in our faith. If you're not Christian yet, you're still working on justification, to be saved, to know Christ just as you are, and you're not expected to be made perfect at that moment because you come towards perfection in saving grace. So you have that point. But if you have accepted Christ as Savior, you then move into this realm of growth. Now, I grew up in a Baptist church that once a month, the third Sunday night of each month, as our memory serves, we had testimony night. How many of y'all have ever been to testimony night? Raise your hand if you've been to testimony night. A few of you have. We had it every third Sunday night. Now, my daddy, when he started going to church, which he did until I was 14, but when he started going, he used to love testimony night. And I would say, Daddy, why do you love testimony night so much? He said, because the preacher doesn't preach on testimony night. And at that point, I was already thinking about becoming a pastor. It took me a while. I said, Dad. And then after I became a pastor, he reaffirmed to me that he loved testimony night because the preacher didn't preach. And I told him I was Methodist, so we didn't do it anyway. He said, I'm joining that church. But anyway, that's another conversation. So he loved testimony night, but I would notice something. Now, I know none of y'all got in trouble as kids. You were all wonderful children, perfect kids. Everything went well. I tended to do things to get myself in trouble. And one of the things was during testimony night, I would listen, and I started taking notes of people's testimonies. So I had a notebook full of testimonies. I would write them down as they testified about this and that. And I noticed there was a pattern in the testimony night. there was about five or six people in the church that they would stand up. Now, remember, this is back, I graduated high school in 1974, and this is back before then, because I left that church in 76, but it's right in that time frame. But this is before 74, and I was taking notes, and I would notice that there would be four or five or six, that would stand up and say, back in 1931, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I praise God for that, and they would sit down. And they would do that, and then other people would get up and testify about other things, but these five or six only said the same things every time. And I would watch it, and I would write it down. So finally, being the inquisitive person that I am, the one who causes trouble, is everybody okay over there? All right, she's okay. All right. Being the inquisitive person I am, I would say, I went and said to the pastor, Brother Frank, now it's Baptist Church, everybody's brother and sister. Brother Frank, let me ask you a question. The fact that they testify about the same thing all the time, does that mean they haven't grown? And he would say, now David, understand, we don't have to grow as Christians. As long as we're saved, everything's okay. And I would look at him and go, yeah, I just don't think that's true. So then he would go tell mom and dad, your son's arguing with me. Then I would get grounded. And I'd say, for what? I'm just trying to figure out what this Christianity thing is, because if I don't have to grow in it, why can't I just go and do anything I want to do and hate the people I want to hate and love the people I want to love and say the heck with it? Then I got in more trouble, because I was trying to figure out why that was the end and the beginning of it was salvation. And then I really grew to understand that salvation was what Jesus said to Nicodemus was being born again. It's the beginning of the journey. It's not the end. The journey goes from the moment we accept Christ through our entire rest of our life to the point that we have become fully known and we fully know God, and we strive to perfection because we learn in our growth to love those who don't love us and pray for those who persecute us. That's what we learn to do. So let me ask you a question. The first question was, are you perfect? And nobody raised their hands. So the second question becomes, have we learned, I'm part of this conversation, to love people more now that disagree with us, and maybe even more importantly, people we disagree with, have we learned to love them more now than we did before we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? Think of the process of this. Look at what we're saying and doing. Whew, don't get in trouble. She's okay. Look at the process of what we're doing. To understand the process of this is to find out, have we grown spiritually in God, or have we stayed at the same place all the time? Because sanctification is sanctifying growth. We become more filled with the Spirit. We become more part of God's kingdom than we were before. Have you become more, or are you stuck at a place that you, when you disagree with people, you don't move forward? What has become of us in our growth? We used to have, and I know y'all remember this, there used to be in the United Methodist Church, and in all of our churches, I think, really great Sunday school classes, really great small groups, really great times of gathering. And those were for the saints to sanctify or to grow in their faith. That's what Bible study is about on Wednesday night. It's about growing in faith. It's about changing who we are to be closer to God. So in doing this, we learn to walk in a manner of growth. So have we gotten closer? I don't know if you noticed this, but the world has not gotten closer. It's more divided every day. Have y'all noticed this? I mean, how many of y'all seriously spend hours upon hours watching people talk to you about what you should or shouldn't believe in, and they got every perspective in the world, and they talk about everything in the world from their perspective? Well, I don't know about y'all. I like to find out what the news is. But I have my own thoughts on things. I know that surprises y'all after this few weeks, that I have my own thoughts about things. And so I believe certain things. It's my faith belief. It's who I am. And there's certain things I think we should do and how we should act and how we should respond. But one of the things that I struggle with, and this is part of my perfection journey, is that I struggle with watching people harm other people. I don't really have a problem with you harming me. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But I hate to see other people harmed. That bothers me. And yet I have learned, or I'm learning, that in my perfection walk, and my walk towards perfection, I have got to learn to settle back and help those who are helpless, but understand that God does the intervening, not me. That I let God be the one that shows us the path, that God's the one that walks with us. And in doing that, we learn how to love others. So there's a litmus test. I want to see if y'all do this. Y'all may not want to do this. I want you to think real quick in your mind of the one person you do not want to eat lunch with this week. I want you to think who it is. You should already have it. The one person that you had preferred not to eat with, then I want you to think of the one person you want to eat lunch with this week. And then I want you to invite both of them to lunch and sit down with them. Think of that process. Now, why would I ask you to do that? I'm going to be uncomfortable the whole time. Yeah. Isn't that great? Because, see, we always seek comfort. Do we not? We want it to be the same thing. I mean, some of y'all, and I mean, I don't want to disparage anybody, but some of y'all still sit in the same pew you've always sat in, no matter how much room we've got up front. Amen? We seek comfort, do we not? I've got a rhythm of how I want to get ready every morning. It's my comfort level. I want to do certain things at certain times. I'm very regimented. I am so Methodist that it hurts. I'm very regimented. I want this to happen at this moment and this to happen at this moment. You know, I'm even to the place that I want the dog to come in and get petted on its head at a certain minute so I can go about my business the rest of the day. That's how I go about my life. I want it to be ready. And anytime it gets thrown off, then I'm kind of going, really? And yet, there's nothing comfortable about Christianity. In fact, I would suggest to you that the only way you reach perfection is through the uncomfortable. It's inviting the two friends together and sit down having lunch with them. It's going to the person that you know can't stand you and saying, I just want to see if you're okay. You don't have to do anything a lot. Just ask if they're all right. Now, they might get mad, yell at you, and say words to you don't want to hear, but that's okay. That's their issue. See, this is that point of learning that, as the Scripture says, God causes the sun to rise on both the just and the unjust. The rain falls on those who deserve it and those who don't deserve it. Everybody is treated equally in that process, and everybody, whether we struggle with it or not, has the ability to know Christ as Savior if they simply profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Everybody has that. One of the privileges I've had, and I've mentioned this to you, was serving as a trustee for Commonwealth of Virginia for the chaplains. And one of the things I got to do is, in two cases, I had those who were on death row. At that time, they still had that. Those who were on death row, on federal death row, I got to go sit with them and have their last meal with them. And then one of them asked me to sit with them as they were being lethally injected and died. And I got to go and hold their hand and be with them. Both of these dear gentlemen had committed many murders. They were there for a reason. And yet I got to go and hold their hand, one of them's hand, and feel the life go out of them and have a prayer with him right before the shot was given and be there with him. I knew all the things he'd done. And I knew the family of that he had, one of the families that he had killed, a member of their family, were there to watch him die. But the irony of that was that same family wanted to make sure that a pastor went and witnessed to him before his death. Didn't know if it would make a difference or not. And they asked to speak with him before he went into the place to get the lethal injection. And when they went in, they said to him, we're not ever condone what you did, but we're praying for you. Now think of the steps in this process. Think of all that's involved in that process. And think of what it means to learn to love somebody who has harmed us. Pray for those who persecute us. Now, the church is being persecuted in many ways. Isn't it great? And everybody looks at me when I say that and say, you have got to be kidding. Well, if you read the book, the Bible, you always hear me say the book. If you read the book, it says in the last days, what's going to happen? Church is going to be persecuted. These things are to come to pass. We don't know the day or the hour, but it's going to come to pass. So we always complain about fulfilling of Scripture. Now, I don't want to be persecuted either. But I want you to hear the text and listen to it. Your road to perfection, my road to perfection, is to learn to love those who persecute us and pray for those who hate us. That's my road to perfection. Will it mean I don't sin again? No. Will it mean I've learned to love the way Jesus loved? Yeah. There's always the one scene with Jesus that should never leave our hearts and minds. He's hanging on a cross. His arms are spread. He's nailed to that cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine what would we have done in his place? Think of that. Think of how that unfolds. And we are asked to do no less than what Jesus did. I pray God blesses you on your road to perfection. Enjoy the journey, for indeed it will change how you see everything. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our closing hymn is page 389. It's Freely, Freely. Would ask that you would stand and sing it. The words will be on the screen, and the altar is open for you to come and pray. Candles are loud, aren't they? Thank you. So for the next 5 weeks after today, we're going to travel back in time to 1742. And we're going to spend time with John Wesley. John doesn't know anything that's happened in the Methodist Church when he's writing about the five things that make us Christian or five things that make us Methodist. He knows nothing about all the issues in the world. He only knows that he writes about the issues of his world in 1742. And we're literally using his words to open up each sermon. And we're going to walk through the five things that will show that you're Methodist. And I want to tell you up front that one of those is not who makes the best casserole. All right, that's a later invention in time. And so we're going to look at those five things. At the end of those five, we'll only have three more lessons after that on the basic understanding of Methodism and Christianity. And then we will move on from there. At that time, by the way, we'll be almost through October. And we'll be headed towards Thanksgiving and Advent at that moment. So that we'll look at those things and we'll move forward in that, just telling you where we're going so you'll have an understanding of the direction that we're going to. Now we have, y'all call it administrative board?
Administrative council.
I've had church council, administrative board. One church that called it their leader gathering. And so I've had them all. And so I just want to make sure what we're doing, that's immediately afterwards or whenever we can all get in there. So let's pray together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God go with us from this place. Let us seek perfection, loving as God is love through his Son Jesus Christ and throughout all of history. And may we find that love in our soul. Going forth in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to